Romans chapter 1, verse number 8, it says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but I was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor, both the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith." The book of Romans is wrapped up in those last two verses that we just read and summarized in those verses. But I want to continue tonight talking about prayer, Paul's prayer life and his intercession for the church at Rome. And we'll go through some of that this evening. Father, thank you now, Lord, tonight for your word. Thank you tonight for a good attendance tonight and a good crowd out this evening. Lord, be with the action, the King's kids downstairs. And this being their last Wednesday night, I pray that you bless our time. And Lord, I pray that afterwards you'd have a good time of fellowship downstairs as well, have a little ice cream together. Now, Lord, bless the teaching of your word this evening. May your will be done and accomplished, Father, we pray. Amen. Let's kind of just go through a little summary here. We're on, in chapter number 2, we're on the second heading, and that is the servant of the gospel. And that covers verses 8 through 16. And we see here that Paul interceded for the Roman Christians. Now, I want to remind you that Paul had not been to Rome yet. His heart was to go to Rome, but we don't find any scripture that would allude to the fact that there was any apostles that had been in Rome. Some say that Peter had been to Rome, but there's no proof that Peter ever went to Rome at all, in his entire life. And so the only one that we know for sure that went to Rome, of course, is the Apostle Paul. Not by the way he had planned. You know, I'm sure that Paul didn't really have in his mind that he'd go there as a prisoner, but he would go there more as a missionary, but God got him there one way or the other. God got him there. And of course, those few years that Paul spent in Rome, he was able to help the church greatly there. You see many people saved. But Paul now speaks about, he spends the first 8 verses speaking of his credentials as an apostle. Again, he's not been to Rome, so he has to verify really who he is through the scripture to let them know that he has the authority as an apostle to come in and weigh on some of these matters and to lead them, have authority in the church there. And so he begins to introduce himself, and then he becomes more intimate with them and begins to really describe his feelings toward them and his love for them. And we find that in Paul's prayer life. So he intercedes for the church at Rome. We find that Paul's intercession, it included praise, it involved praise. We talked about that a few weeks ago, that Paul said that he praised them, and he was thankful for them and for their faith that was spoken throughout the whole world. And so his intercession involved praise. We talked about how that important it is to thank God for the folks that God placed around you. And around you, and it's hard to criticize folks when you're praising God for them. And so we ought to be thankful for the people that God's placed in our church and our lives. And he said, well, they're not perfect. Well, that's why God placed them in your life, so you wouldn't ruin them. And I figured if they weren't perfect already, then you couldn't do much damage to them. But so there's no one arrived. But as part of the Christian body of Christ, we're all members one of another. We all edify and build one another. So we involve our prayer life should involve praise. You know, think about that as you're praying throughout the week. God, I'm thankful for our deacons. Thankful for our teachers in our school. Thankful for our, I was going to say ushers and security, but that is okay if you missed that. And no, we're thankful for those as well. Thankful for our school teachers. And even now and then, I'm thankful for our pastor and his wife and family. We thank for one another, that our members. It's very important. And then Paul's intercession also involved prayer. Now that would seem kind of like pretty profound or simple, you know, really. But listen, here's what Paul, as he prayed for them, we said that Paul's prayer was constant. He was always praying for them. We also found that Paul's prayer is personal, all right? He prayed for them also by name, a few of them that he knew. Paul's prayer was particular. He prayed for certain things for them. He didn't just pray in general, but he had a certain prayer request, and that's important. We talked about that as well a few weeks ago. Paul's prayer was submissive. He wanted God's will to be done in his life. And that should always be our case when we pray. God is not our servant. God is not our genie. He's God. He's sovereign. Amen. And we ought to treat him such. This lady today asked me, this lady from Masonville, she said, have you ever heard, and she named the man about a book he read, some guy, some scholar. I guess he's somebody because he's been on Focus on the Family. So if you've been on that show, you must be somebody. But he, maybe Brother Victor's heard about this. I never heard of it. But there's some old Jewish thing where if you take certain things and you write them down, then you circle them, God has to answer those prayers. I never heard of anything like before. I tried that today in my office. I circled Lamborghini, and it hasn't happened yet. And so, no, I didn't try that. But I guess, yeah. I think I spelled Limburger. So I said, I've never heard of such a thing before in my life. And I told her, my guess is someone wants to make a little bit of money off a book that nobody's heard of. And, you know, that's kind of like, you know, years, remember about 10, 15 years ago, the prayer of Jabez was really big.
Yeah.
And that people were buying the books off the shelves. If you're like Jabez, you pray the prayer of Jabez, God has to answer your prayer. No, God wants to answer our prayers. He does. More than we want our prayers answered. But God is not controlled by you or me. He's not placed in a corner where he's obligated. Now that you've pushed the right buttons, I'm obligated now to answer your prayer. Remember that we are his servants and he's our God. He's sovereign. He's holy and he's righteous. And so Paul's prayer was submissive. Paul's prayer was undemanding. Paul's prayer was genuine, real, sincere. So let's move on from there. So we talked about the different two things that Paul's intercession already involved. Number C is this, letter C. Paul's intercession involved heart. It involved heart. And a lot of Christians today, unfortunately, are in the Christian business with no heart. There's nothing that's not sincere, genuine. If we're not careful, we become guilty of going through the motions of it. Why we do that? Because we're creatures of, number one, we're creatures of habit. We have a conscience. And you know as well as I do, you can come to church with no heart, but if you miss church, your conscience gets smote, right? And so we would not violate our conscience so we can go to church and mark that off, but yet we can be here fulfilling our conscience sake, but our hearts and our minds far from serving God, or prayer life, worship. I've watched folks, I've been guilty through this as well. Song service comes along, people's minds are a million miles away, they're not singing any of the words. They're thinking about lunch or what they had for supper last night, or, boy, I'm really hungry. Hope pastor doesn't preach very long today. And they think about work and all kinds of things. Then the preacher comes and starts preaching. If we're not careful, our mind wanders and we are slumbering in the pew. Now, don't say, preacher, not me, because you all are guilty of that. You know why I preach? Because if I sat where you sat, I'd be slumbering in the pew. But it's a temptation. You have to sometimes make yourself listen. You say, well, if you're more interesting, we would be listening more. You know, supposedly I sat for many years under the greatest preacher in the world, Jack Hiles. He was supposed to be the day the greatest preacher around. You know what I did a lot of times in that service with 6,000 people? I nodded off and slept. I was tired, man. I was tired in college. And you can sleep almost anywhere you want to sleep. The last couple weeks ago, Josh took me to the Red Green Show here in Dubuque. Funny guy. But there was a portion of that comedy show that I got a little sleepy-eyed. It's like, if he doesn't get funny, I'm going to fall asleep. And you can about go anywhere and fall asleep, or you can about go anywhere and learn something. It depends on where your heart's at. I like Paul said, his heart was in his prayer life. We find in verse number 10, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul's heart was knit with them. He wanted to come and be with them. he hadn't even seen them, and he's already emotionally attached to them and loved them. We're very visual people, thankful to TV and those things like that. And so when you see, I still call them slides. They're not slides anymore. They're DVDs. But when you see slides or pictures of missionary stories or missionary journeys or missionaries come back from the field and they show their slides or their DVDs, your heart's moved. You know, I can remember when I first got to walk on and preachers would come and missionaries would come and show their DVDs or their slides of Alaska. And my heart's like, okay, I'm going to resign here. I'm going to Alaska. The next missionary would come and he'd be going to the Philippines or Haiti and show his missionary slides. He's like, all right, I'm going to go to Haiti this week. And you know, I've submitted to every country there is to submit to. Russia, Ukraine. I mean, God sent me there. You know, why? Like our heart gets emotionally tugged. And nothing wrong with that. God made us with a heart to get emotionally tugged. But Paul said, my prayer life involves my heart as well. And so we find here that our prayer life should be impacted by our heart. I like this verse. It's a convicting verse for me. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Hear God saying, since you've been saved, since you obeyed the gospel and got saved, the difference is now you're supposed to love one another. And not out of obligation, but with a pure heart fervently. God said that our love for one another ought to be like a warm fire, a blazing fire that can't be easily quenched or put out. And so we find that Paul's, this was his heart and prayer life. He loved the people at Rome. He said, well, I've never seen them. But he loved them. He cared for them. He wanted to impart unto them some fruit to be helpful to them because he had a heart for them. And so that, to me, that's convicting. If Paul can love people he has not seen, then why can't you and I love people that we have seen? He said, well, there are better folks. You'd be surprised how folks were. Folks have not changed in 2,000 years. We're still the same kind of people, the same kind of problems. Now, they didn't worry about maybe their car payment, but they worried about how am I going to pay off my camel? You know, my camel's sick. You know, he's got a bad hoof. You know, they had to worry about, they didn't have electricity, but they had to buy candles. You know, my candles are getting low. I got to buy candles. You know, they had the same problems that we have, same worries that we have, same lust of the flesh that we have, same temptations. In fact, back in the days of Rome, some of it was more readily available than you might imagine it would be. But Paul had a heart for them. He loved them. And I want to encourage us tonight as Christians in our prayer life to be motivated by love for our brethren. Our church life. I know we're here to worship God, but worshiping God would be very difficult and frustrating if there was no love here. Amen? And by the way, you couldn't worship God and love God without loving those around you. Amen. I believe wholeheartedly that if you're not right with your brother, you can't be right with God. And your worship is hindered and stifled when you're not right with your brother. And so we find that Paul's intercession involved heart. And then letter D under, if you're taking an outline, if not, that's okay. And the next one is this. Paul's intercession involved being helpful. We see this also in verse number 11. His prayer was that he may come and see them, that he may impart unto them some spiritual gift. Now we can talk a lot of times tonight about spiritual gifts. Those are listed also in the book of Romans, and I think also in 1 Corinthians 11 or 12, right around there. Those spiritual gifts that Paul wanted to help impart to them. He wanted to establish them in the Word of God, establish them in the faith. But his heart was, I love you, but I want to come and be helpful to you. Now, Paul's not being arrogant, by the way. Okay? But Paul realized that he himself had some spiritual gifts. And that God had called him and God had put his hands upon him and given him some abilities to help people. This thing in the Christian life is not about saving whales and the spotted owls. It's not about us four and no more. You know, that's one of the, and don't shoot me now, but that's one of the gripes I have about homeschoolers. Homeschoolers get the idea, it's us four and no more. Me, myself, and my kids, and the rest of you can rot and go to hell. And I'm not, by the way, not all homeschoolers. But that's sometimes the mentality of homeschool people. Is they don't want to get involved too much because, you know, your kids might corrupt my homeschool kids. You know, while your homeschool kids are idiots, you know. But that's not nice either. That's not true. I'm sorry. That's not always the case. The parents are, you know. you can even have both sides wrong. But the fact of the matter is that this thing, the Christian life, is about helping people. One of the things about the Christian life, I don't understand. You know, this year I'll turn 40, 49. Listen, don't woe me. In my mind, I still think I'm 25. And I'm thinking, you know, if God, you know, I wasn't, listen, some of you were good kids. Okay, Luella must have been an angel. She's 110 and she's not dead yet. She must have been an angel. I wasn't a good kid. Okay, I'm on borrowed time right now. And so God says that if we have 70 years, you ought to be blessed. That means I've got less than 20, I got 21 years to bother people. And then I'm gone. You know, that's kind of scary. It's like half my life has already passed unless somehow I get lucky like Luella and live to be, you know, 80 some years old and bother people all these years and be happy about it and do a good job at it. But I don't want to be a guy that gets older and gets crotchety and angry and starts withdrawing and not being involved in helping people. You know, sometimes older folks have so much to give, but they become the loneliest people in the world because life jades them and they pull away. When they're at the peak of helping others, man, those gray hairs don't mean I'm tired and worn out. Those gray hairs mean you got something going on up there to help people with. Amen. They're not the sign of like checked out, you know, vacation. They're a sign like, listen, you've been through some things. God's blessed you with some things. And there's some wisdom you can pass on to somebody else. And it's not time for any of us to check out and say, you know what, I have no dog in the fight anymore. I'm done with this Christian life. I'm just going to sit back and take it easy. No, Paul said, I've never been to Rome. I've never seen you, but I have a heart to, I want to help you. I want to give you something that I've been given. And boy, shouldn't we all be that way? We're all come to church thinking, I'm going to come to church and I'm going to help give somebody what God's blessed me with. I'm going to tell you something. If God didn't bless you with something, then you need to get saved then. Because God gives every saved person something. God doesn't leave any of us without a gift. He gives everybody a gift. And the gift is not to sit in the pew and take up 64 inches. That's a lot. I'm sorry. What is it? 18? That's a big guy. All right. That's a whole family, okay? It's a whole family of Filipinos. God wants you to be helpful. And sometimes the temptation is, you know, not so much just age, but sometimes life just jades you. It's easy to sometimes just get beat up. It seems like the harder that we try to serve God these last few years, the more we get beat up. I'll tell you something. I feel like I've just been beat up by a Mack truck. Just, you know what? I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. You know, the devil, the enemy never attacks if you never get on his territory. That's right. And I believe that somewhere in the last few months, we've encroached on some territories. The devil's like, no, I'm taking this thing down. And we've seen some things take place. Some of you might not be aware, but both the devil, there's been a spiritual battle take place in our church, in our families. And so, but I want to encourage you, don't let that stuff weigh you down. You're like, I'm just done with it all. Give what you've been given to somebody else. And so Paul had a heart to help. And, well, I didn't mean to stop there very long, but I'm glad I did. Well, watch this. Look at this. Some of you that maybe not think I'm, watch this verse. Look at this. Romans 16, 1 through 3. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. I know it's a small print there. I'm sorry, but, just get a pair of binoculars and look at it from the back row if you need to. Which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria, that you receive her in the Lord as becomes saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succor of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ. We find that in chapter 16, I think Paul lists like 24 people who has helped him in the ministry. He commends Phoebe first, and she's one of those saints that her business was, she made her business to run to the aid. She was a succorer, I think that's how you say it, or close. And she ran to the aid of many. That means that she was always looking for somebody that needed help. And she didn't debate about whether I should help that person or not. She ran to their aid. And she was willing to go there and help them with their need. And Aquila and Priscilla, here's the husband and wife who were always mentioned together in the Bible about 6 times, always together. They were Paul's helpers. In fact, Paul said, and later on in Romans, they laid down their necks for Paul's life. Now, many folks, they would call that, wow, they're just preacher worshipers. You know, because, you know, if you don't keep a preacher poor, then you're worshiping the preacher. You know, you got keep him humble and poor, you're going to worship the poor guy. And I don't need anybody's worship, by the way. I've already convinced my wife to do that for me. I got her so brainwashed. And she's so deceived and brainwashed. But I'm happy, so. But you know what? Priscilla and Aquila were Paul's helpers. Not for Paul's sake so much as for the gospel's sake. Listen, church. We got to be the kind of people that whatever the gospel is being preached by somebody, we got to get behind them. Whether it's Apollos, who is eloquent and wise and has great speech and delivery, or it's a little squinty-eyed, short, stubby Jew that can hardly see, who's been beat half to death for the ministry's sake. When I get behind the folks that are preaching the gospel and say, you know what, let me be, you know, I don't have a lot of time, but this is why I want to help Kite River. Here's a ministry trying to help young people with the gospel's sake. And I don't want to be the kind of guy that sits back and says, okay, let's just sit back and see what you're going to do first. And boy, if you make it through certain hoops, then we might help you. I want to be the guy on the ground floor, man, that's getting our hands dirty in the very beginning and say, let's make a difference in these ministries that are preaching the gospel. He said, well, those things aren't perfect. Guess what? If we started a ministry called Camp, it wouldn't be perfect either. Amen. And so my point tonight is this. When you see the gospel being preached, don't pick it apart. Get behind it. Because I'm not, don't understand, I'm not preaching about compromise. Okay? I'm not saying that's the only thing you have to worry about. You know, as long as we preach the gospel, we can have rock music in our church. I'm not saying that. That would be a different story. But tonight, boy, I tell you something, we got to get behind folks that want to preach the gospel. And if it means that we sacrifice, it means that we sacrifice. God, help us to do that. Paul was a helper. He was a helper because he was confident what God had given him to help other people. You have what other people may need. Then we see, I'll close with this one. Paul's intercession in Romans chapter 1 involved praise, and involved prayer. And involve this heart. By the way, that's the kind of prayer life that God honors, is when it's sincere and in truth. Paul's intercession involved being helpful. He wanted to impart them a spiritual gift. He wanted to help them in their faith. He wanted to see them grow spiritually. Then Paul's intercession also, lastly, involved humility. Humility. We find this in verse number 12 of our text this evening. Romans chapter 1, verse number 12, where Paul says, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Paul was not praying for Rome, for the believers in Rome, with a better than now attitude. Paul had come to learn that believers praying and laboring together resulted in mutual comfort and edification. Paul was saying, I want to give you something in return that I may receive something. Now listen to me carefully. You can never give without receiving. You'll never give without receiving. Let me show you a case in point. If you can't read that, turn to Philippians 2 with me. Philippians chapter 2. Another well-known passage of Scripture. Philippians chapter 2. I want you to begin reading verse number 3. It says, let nothing be done through strive for vain glory, but the lowliest of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Well, that's a convicting and a hard verse. It says in verse number 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. For what reason? That's, again, we're giving, we're imparting some things that they may be able to bear their own burdens, according to the Scripture. Every man's got to bear his own burden, so we're helping them bear their own burdens or come along, not taking it from them, for helping them bear their burdens. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse number 9, wherefore, there's a change now. God also hath highly exalted him, give him a name above, which is above every name. Jesus Christ gave. You know that. We could preach all night long, but everything I would say tonight wouldn't be eloquent enough. And you would say, preacher, I know, amen. He gave and he gave and he gave. He took off the robes of royalty and put on the garments of a servant. He left the splendor of heaven and came to this earth, born of a virgin, and placed in a manger in an old stable. He became a man like you and I, tempted the same way that we are. He didn't come in our white horse and come in as a king, but he came in as the Lamb of God to be slaughtered for our sins. And because he gave and he gave and he gave, in his resurrection, God gave him a name above every other name, that at his name every knee shall bow and tongue shall confess that he is Jesus Christ. What I'm saying tonight is this, that Jesus Christ did not give without receiving. Now that wasn't his motivation. But in giving he received. Paul in giving also, he says, in my giving to you, I'm receiving also comfort as well. I'm being comforted in my giving. Sometimes we have this idea, if I give too much, I'm going to lose. Let me ask you something. When you're really giving with the right kind of attitude or kind of heart, it might have involved sacrifice. It might involve that this week we don't eat like we did last week. It might involve that we have to maybe give a vacation or two. Can I ask you a question? In giving with the right kind of heart, what have you ever lost, really? That you did not gain back in some better way? Or did not draw you closer to be more? Where you realize in that moment of giving out of sincerity, giving out of a Christ-like attitude, that you're more like Christ than ever as you gave with the right kind of heart. You see, Paul's prayer life involved humility and also humbleness, but he realized that, am I giving to you, I'm going to receive as well. Christians, it's impossible to give without receiving. Now, don't take that wrong. You may not receive back 100, if I give $200, I'll get back $3,000, you know. I remember in college, I hated college. I'm not sure why I'm back there. In college, I remember in college, you're poor. I mean, you don't have any money. And you work I hated college because, in college, I would pray, God, I need the bills paid. And other people would, my other friends would pray that. And they'd say, hey, Brother Ed, I got money in the mail today. I'm like, I need some money. I need some money for my bill, God. And God gave me overtime that night at my job. Like, wait a minute. Why does he get money and I get overtime, God? It don't seem right fair to me. Why? So we always picking on me. But I remember in college, they said this. They said, if you need your college bill paid, says you need $1,000, they said, you should give $100 today to the chapel service. Tithe your seed money. Plant your seed money. It was wicked. It was wicked. Yeah, that's a good question. I didn't have any seeds to plant seeds with. somewhere along the line, somebody up there got a hold of some charismatic teaching, so I exploit some college students, in this matter. I never got back anything like that. They said, one guy got up and said, if you need some white shirts, find out what white shirts cost and tithe on your white shirts you don't have. Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, from where, the white was from Goodwill, the white was from Men's Warehouse. I don't know what's... Yes, ma'am. That's why you have to be careful with colleges. You be careful. Some of this stuff is not always doctrinal. And so I'm not here to discourage you tonight. I'm just saying that men are crazy. And giving doesn't always... Yeah, that's all the people are learning tonight from the whole Bible study tonight. Men are crazy! Don't give anything to anyone. But I never... In giving, here's the point. In giving, I never have gotten rich. Never. Last week I gave Jared my car. Old Blue. That was hard. Old Blue is a good car. And it's a good kissing car because there's a bench seat there. You can't kiss in a Toyota. That's why I'm not comfortable with the kiss in the Toyota. They don't make it that way. And the Grand Marquis is like, slide over, baby. And we're going to go home cruising. And because baby likes the mercury. And anyway, you know, I don't expect God to give me a brand new car. I don't expect it. But God will take care of my needs.
Amen. There you go.
So here's my point tonight. I know I rambled some, make it a little humorous. You can't give without receiving. It's impossible. You may not receive back the same way you planted. You may not receive back a bunch of money. But God's going to give you, you'll get something out of it. You'll get a blessing. You'll become more like Christ.
Amen.
In the process. And so Paul's intercession involved humility.